His wonder-working power in the blood. Power in the blood.
Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. And will you also please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon, and refer to the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. There will be a congregational meeting, a business meeting, next Sunday, May 22nd, directly following the morning worship service, and you are encouraged to attend that meeting. You will note that there is an insert in your bulletin about the Ministry of Teen Challenge, and we welcome them and are pleased to have this group of brothers and sisters in that ministry with us today. Those who are not ashamed to be ambassadors for Christ. And we look forward to their presentation at this service. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 96, verses 1, 8, and 9. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Fear before him all the earth. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymn this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 32. Will you please rise as we sing Blessed Be the Name, hymn number 32.
Father, we come before you at this very special moment because we love you and praise your name because of your faithfulness to all the people everywhere. As a public service in our community and the country, we are reminded in the scripture to pray for our president, and so we pray that you give him the wisdom to know and to do what is right, and the courage to say no to all that is contrary to your statutes of the holy law. Lord, in an increasingly complex and dangerous world, we need to drop to our knees and acknowledge our dependency on our mighty God and ask him to reveal his will, just as King David did long time ago. Father, it is an honor to have missionaries around the world, and we pray for your mercy and encouragement in each one of them, for Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, Fred and Carol Lewis, as Fred is recovering in America from sickness, the Athletic Sport Association of San Jose, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center at Gilroy, Martha Paretti, as she works in the Rehabilitation Drug Center in Argentina, Daniel and Miriam Lacey in the motorsport ministry. Lord, may thy kingdom come and thy will be done as we together here in our auditorium and there over the airwaves of KKMC radio and Bethel webpage in the internet, we fellowship together as one family. And now once again, we magnify your name because of your provisions and care for the ministry of the gospel. Bless those who do not understand. Bless those who are even against us. Touch the heart of those who believe not. Have compassion upon us and deliver us from the evil one. And when the day is over, we are going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. And as we take the offering, Lord, I thank you for the people here at Bethel, how they gave sacrificially for the gospel. And so we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Wash me now. and show me how to live.
On behalf of Teen Challenge, I just want to take this time just to thank you for allowing us to be with you this morning. For those of you who aren't really familiar with the ministry of Teen Challenge, it started in 1958 by the name of David Wilkerson, who had such a burden to go into the streets of New York City and reach a group of people that many would think would be unreachable. They were the drug addicts, they were the prostitutes, they were the gang members. But all he wanted to do is go after them and share with them the message of love, the message of just Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for them, and that love was for them no matter where they're from, no matter what they're doing. And he went after it over and over and over again, and today we have approximately 300 centers in the United States and worldwide. So it is continuing to grow, and it is such a blessing to be a part of. Today we have two centers that are actually three that are represented here. We have a Women and Children's Center in San Jose, a Family Center in San Jose, and a Men's Center from Oakland, California, who are all here today. There's three ways that we ask people to kind of help with the Ministry of Teen Challenge. The first way is by volunteering some of your time. We have tons of students that would just love to see a familiar face or a face to come for the first time and just take some time out of their day and show them love. And we always have events going out throughout the year that can help Teen Challenge going and help show someone that you care. Also, it costs $1,305 a month for a student to go through the Ministry of Teen Challenge. Most of our students can't afford that, but yet we do not want to close the door to anyone. Our heart is to have our doors always open and always available for someone to come. So there is always a financial need, and because we do not charge, it's always churches like you guys and just individuals who really catch the vision of Teen Challenge and help support us and keep us going. So we thank you for that. The last way and the most important way is it took the prayers of someone to get most of the students into the doors of Teen Challenge, and it's going to keep, we need those prayers to keep them going and to keep them getting through the program. And that's the most important thing that I've found. I just challenge you as we sing, as someone shares their story, that you grab a hold of someone's face, hold on to it, and pray for them because they'll need your prayers. Thank you. Fire.
We are
We're very excited to be here with you guys. Simply, we would like to just acknowledge God with you guys this afternoon, to share what He's doing at Teen Challenge, and to just got to tell you, you know, how much Jesus means to us. And so we'd like to start that with a victory chant for you. Well, they're telling me to talk, so I guess I'll talk. Yeah, as Carrie said, it's very hard for us, up, you know, as students, as people, not to to keep a smile on our face. You know, God works through this program wonderfully. He brings the best out of all of us as individuals, a Teen Challenge. There's not a day that goes by, you know, that, you know, I could imagine myself personally somewhere else, you know. He's so real. He shows Himself in every way to us, you know. So it's a very, Teen Challenge is a very happy place. Not all the time. No, it's a very structured program. Okay, what do you want me to do now?
You have to keep talking because people are on the air.
Hell, Jesus. Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Perfect in all your ways.
Oh, hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord. Your kingdom come.
Oh, not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done. Oh, glory, glory to the Lamb.
Oh,
you will
take us into the Lamb.
You will take us into the Lamb. Oh,
we will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
Well, you are mighty
Jesus, you're my sweet Savior. I'm gonna follow you till the walls come down and I'm jumping down. We're gonna break down, we're gonna shake down, we're gonna tear down up these walls. And I'm gonna follow my sweet Jesus all my ever-loving days. Because the Lion of Judah, well, he shall break every chain and give to us the victory again and again. Oh, the Lion of Judah, well, he shall break every chain and give to us the victory. Well, I said now again and
My name is Jared. I'm 26 years old, and before coming to Teen Challenge, the Oaklands Men's Center, I suffered from a 7-year drug and alcohol addiction. In direct results of my addiction, I landed myself homeless. I was very much so in a hopeless state of mind. I was very suicidal, and I was completely broken. One night, 9 months, 1 week, and 1 day ago, I cried out to God, not even really knowing if he was real, you know, thinking that it was in vain. I cried out to help me, save me, you know. I couldn't continue going on the way I was living. And God is faithful. That very day that I prayed, I met somebody from Teen Challenge fundraising, and they began to tell me how they had suffered from the same type of lifestyle that I'd suffered from, and through the ministry of Teen Challenge, they got saved, that their life was completely transformed. They told me that the program was free, and that it had an 86% success rate, so I went. I went to Teen Challenge, and I had no idea that this would be the place that Jesus Christ would save my life. I found a relationship with God that is just so awesome. It surpasses anything I've ever experienced in my life. He's restored relationships with my family. I had an opportunity to tell my parents my faith last night. They're Jehovah's Witnesses. It was so awesome. The power of God moved. And I just praise God and thank him that he saves people's lives who are hopeless at one point. And he changes them in awesome testimonies for his glory. And to just change people's lives today and to reveal his power. Man, Jesus is awesome. There's a scripture that's really encouraged me the time that I've been in this program. I'm sorry. It's found in Ephesians 3:17 through 19, and it says that Christ will become more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. And may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you understand, as all of God's children should, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, though it is so great that you can never see the end of it or fully know or understand until at last you are filled up with God himself. Thank you for letting me share.
In all his glory, and that he came to this earth to seek and to save those who were lost. He was obedient to the Father even unto death, so that I could be saved. Who am I? That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt.
Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-watching heart?
It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am.
I'm yours. I'm yours.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me watch me rise again?
Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me?
It's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am.
Because of what you've done, it's not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am.
I am yours.
I am yours.
Once again, I just want to thank you for allowing us to be here. And as Jared mentioned, the success of Teen Challenge, we do have an 86% success rate, but that success is because of Jesus Christ. And we just simply opened a place where we can just help cultivate and bring in those principles. And just when they come to the end of themselves, that's and let Jesus come in, their lives are completely changed. And that's the ministry of Teen Challenge. Amen.
Once again, we are grateful that at least once a year we have a reflection and reality of what God can do in the hearts of people. And you who are here in the auditorium and those who are listening via Radio KKNC and the webpage of Bethel knows that when God penetrates your life, then changes really happen. You turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 this morning as we continue on the Beatitudes and the studies of the Beatitudes. I want to tell you that the more we study the Beatitudes, the clearer becomes the fact that they are not simply a collection of unrelated sayings, but rather the unfolding of a progressive revelation of God for the believer. And if you are enlightened to read, if you like to read, the Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And my recommendation, you know, is always read the book of Proverbs, a chapter a day. Today is 15, you read chapter 15, tomorrow 16, chapter 16. The next month you start all over again for your entire life, and you will see what the Word of God does. But if you want to really know the protocol of the believer, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are a great revelation. The Beatitudes are in Matthew 5, and start in this way in verse 1. And seeing the multitude, he went up on the mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, here's Beatitude number 1, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God. I actually believe the Beatitudes are stages in the evolution of the Christian character. You become a Christian, like our brothers have said, by the mercy of God, the enlightenment of God, and the power of God, they overwhelm you, and you become a Christian. Then the Beatitudes are that ladder that makes you to grow as a Christian. The first beatitude that we read is about the realization of being poor in our spirit. And I call, as you remember last Sunday, the blessedness of emptiness. Being poor in the spirit is to know that you are empty. Very difficult for mankind. Satan has lied to us, and people call themselves science people. They tell me sometimes, well, you cannot tell me that because I'm a science person. And I say, I'm a science person too, but I believe. And the reality is that these beatitudes require that if a person is going to find God, the first thing that God does, he makes you know that you are nothing. Absolutely nothing. And he makes you know that he is not going to use anything of yours to give you light and life and love. If you are a man, like this man said, this tall fellow, he's taller than me, he said that he was homeless. And I help a lot of homeless people. A homeless person is a person who is really lost. Or you are an engineer living there in San Martin in those beautiful homes, $4-5 million. Regardless who you are between the two extremes, God is not going to use anything you have in order to rescue you. He's going to use himself. So that's the first beatitude. Poor in the spirit, the blessedness of emptiness. Now it is the need of something else that got you into the kingdom of God, which leads us, after you become empty and after you know that you are nothing, then God said that's the first stage. Remember, I told you that that was where God put the ladder of Christianity. The first step is that you are nothing and that you provide nothing and that you make a contribution of nothing to God. He said, God is me in need of you. I think next Sunday, the song is going to be People Need the Lord. I think the following Sunday. And that's my favorite song. If you ask me for a song, People Need the Lord, period. Now, today, we're going to study verse 4. And for the radio broadcast, if you close your eyes and give me 10 more minutes, I buy you a donut when I'm in Salinas. Okay, here it is. That's no bribery, no? Verse 4 of Matthew 5. Blessed are those who mourn, said the New King James Bible, for they shall be comforted. The second beatitude describes a spiritual brokenness. The word used in the original for mourn is the word very strong. It's a person who laments. I don't know if you ever have a chance to go to a Jewish funeral, but there are people who pay to lament. And there are people who follow the protocol of the Old Testament, and they will go by the casket, and they outpour their cry, and you think they are broken. And that's a fake, but they do it so well that you're emotionally moved. Well, this is no fake. God said, blessed are those who are in lamentation, in brokenness of life. And I like to break that little text in three parts. The cause of a spiritual brokenness will be the first part. The cause of a spiritual brokenness. The effect of a spiritual brokenness. You will know if a person is broken before you or not. And then the answer to a spiritual brokenness. And we're going to look in the Bible and let the God speak to us. And may this be a great experience in our life, that we step one more step in our Christian life. We are people who are broken, and that's nothing wrong to it. Number one, the cause of a spiritual brokenness. The Bible said, blessed are those who mourn. What causes a spiritual brokenness? Spiritual brokenness comes when we understand God's revelation about the sinfulness of our heart. Again, education is good. And you know, I have acquired a few degrees. But I tell you, no one wants to think their heart is sinful. Very sinful. But the Bible speaks about that. And so I'm going to give you an idea that when you understand that your heart is sinful, that causes you to be broken because you see that there is no help from inside. Let's look in the Bible. There is a consciousness of sin. If you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, page 662, if you are using the Bible that is in the pew, Romans chapter 2 and verse 15, page 662, look what the Apostle Paul says. There is a consciousness of sin, who show the work of the law written in their heart, said the scripture, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thought accusing or else excusing them. Their conscience, Paul talking about the sinfulness of man, he said there is a consciousness in our life placed by God who tell us that we are sinners. And that's why we battle so much about that we don't want to read the Bible in the schools. We don't want to pray in the Congress of the United States. We want to get rid of anything that's of God. And because mankind has a consciousness, there is a sin and don't want to hear it. There's a consciousness of sin. Not only that, there is a culpability of sin. If you turn your Bible to the Old Testament, to the Psalm 51, verse 3 and 4, page 358, Psalm 51, verse 3 and 4, you see that there is a culpability of sin. We're guilty. David wrote Psalm 51 after his sin and after the conviction of sin. After a pastor with the real pants told him, "You are the man," remember, Nathan? And he was a blessing. When the pastor speaks the truth, it's a blessing, because then God works. Look at Psalm 51, verse 3. David said, "I acknowledge my transgression and my sin," not the sin of my wife, not the sin of my family, not the sin of my grandparents, like the psychologist will say, "and my sin is always before me." Now look at verse 4. "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight." Now, you see, David did not blame anybody. He stand before God and he said, "It is not that I was busy or not busy. It is not that somebody embarrassed me. It is not that I have a cold or something. I'm a sinner. And I have sinned against God." The cause of a spiritual brokenness, there is a consciousness of sin. You cannot avoid it. We all are built. When we are born, we are built with that consciousness that we know what is right and what is wrong. Just for fun, I stood in, when I work in radio in Oakland with my partner in the ministry and a TV camera, and we ask people questions as they go to the airport. And one of the questions I asked people said, "Are you a sinful person?" He said, "What?" And I have a picture with somebody saying, "What? What is that?" You know, it's amazing. And I said, "What is your business?" "I'm a lawyer. Don't talk about sin," he said. I said, "Well, you are equal to a car dealer. Lawyers, be careful." You know, there's a culpability of sin. Nobody wants to acknowledge. That's the nature. And so the cause of a spiritual brokenness is you have a consciousness of sin, and then you are guilty of sin, and there is the consequences of sin. Look at Romans. You are in Romans 2. And Psalm, move back to Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, page 665. There is the consequences of sin. Like the people said, "Well, I care less about sin." Well, don't do that, because there is the consequences of sin. Romans 6:23 is very clear. The payoff, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there is a consequence of sin. There is death. And people use the word death, and because they don't know in America any other language, they think death is somebody who die and go is cremated or placed in the cemetery. But death is defined in the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, page 407 in your Bible. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. There the Bible defined the word death. What is death? In Ecclesiastes 12, 7, King Solomon explained to us this. He says, "Then shall the dust return to the dust, to the earth, as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So death is equal to separation. Separation of our anathema. God takes away what a surgeon cannot take away. He takes away the soul of the man, and the body goes to the dust, who is cremated. But the soul goes into the presence of God, or in a place waiting for that day of judgment. That's what death is. It's a separation. A total separation. Death is a separation of our anatomy. Death is a separation of our relationship. My mother was alive, and the year I think is 1970-something. My mother passed away, and I visited Argentina, and I don't want to go to my house. My brother lives there, and I want to go because I will not see my mother. My brother has to grab me. He's taller than me and bigger. and grabbed me and moved me in, and I started crying because I will not see my mother. It's a separation. Death is a separation. But the worst separation is that you're going to be separated from the presence of God forever. That's what it is. So there is a cause of brokenness that comes from the consciousness of sin that God gave you, the consequences of sin that you know that you are guilty, and then the consequences that you know you're going to be separated from God. Now, how in the world are I going to communicate these to people? They will not believe me. That's right. But there is a tool that communicates that. There is a tool that has revealed to you and to you and to me this and to people who listen and to people who will become saved. And the tool is found in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, page 705. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, page 705. What is the cause? What causes me to know that I'm a sinner? What causes me to know that I'm guilty? What causes me to know that if I die, I will be separated from God? Look at what the Bible says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. And of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You can talk to me, I can talk to you, but I will never know your heart. You will never know my heart. But the Word of God knows you well. And when you read the Word of God, you cannot lie. You say, that's true. And you read the Word of God, and then you become aware that you said, man, oh man, I blew it. And God said, oh, you are in the right way. And then you read the Word of God and say, what am I going to do? And God said, well, keep on reading. And you keep on reading the Word of God, whether by yourself or by the guidance of a friend or the guidance of a book. And then you find yourself guilty before God. That's brokenness. That's brokenness. There is no any arrangement outside the court. No at all. You just stand before God and say, God, I blew it. And God looked down and helped you. So that's the cause of brokenness. Nobody is broken by raising your hand, walking around a building seven times, jumping around. Nobody is broken by that. You become broken when you read the Word of God and you say, man, oh man, I'm a sinner. There is no way you can say that unless this book penetrates in the deepest parts of your life and your soul. Number two, the effect of a spiritual brokenness. Once the Word of God causes us to see ourselves, our sin, then there is the outcome that follows. Once you become aware by God that you are a sinner, then there is an outcome that follows. First of all, the Word of God, after you say, I'm guilty, immediately the Word of God said, you need to repent. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:10, 2 Corinthians 7:10, page 682. 2 Corinthians 7 at verse 10, page 682. The Bible says, if you feel sorry that you are a sinner, the Bible says, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. You are not sorry, you are sorrow. And your sorrow of being a sinner will lead you to repentance. Lord, I blew it. And that will lead you unto salvation. So the effect of a spiritual brokenness produces repentance, produces obedience. You are in chapter 7. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Page 683. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God. Obedience of Christ. You see, when you're a believer, I don't have to teach you to obey. I don't have a book. I remember years and years ago, 1982, Russ and I visit, who knows if the person lives in town or not here, in the night. And the lady asked me a book of things to do and not to do. And I don't know if Russ remember that or not. She was the wife of a fireman. And I handled the Bible. She said, well, I have a Bible. I said, but what are the rules in your church? These you do, these you don't do. I said, well, it's right here in this book. How do I know? She said, well, you read it. Well, no, I want something simple. An outline, what to do and not to do. Well, I hear the Bible. She said, well, what I do is you read it. And where they say I can do or not do. Well, I don't want to tell you, but God's going to tell you. You're going to read it. Say you're a wife and you want to cheat your husband, and you're going to hit chapter 5:32, where adultery is evil. And then you say, oh, I don't do that. Then you write it down. I had to write for me. You write for you. That was fantastic. And she said, well, no, I want a church that tells me what to do. No, you don't want anybody to tell you what to do. You want God to tell you what to do. That's what you want. See, godly repentance produces obedience. You become eager to obey God. To obey God. You know, when I was young, I got to play soccer accidentally. I was just catching penalty kick in a final in a high school game. Behind my goalie was the coach of the largest team in Argentina, an Italian fellow. He talked to me to go to the, I was 18 years old. He talked to me. He said, no, my mama told me I don't talk to anybody. You talk to my mama. Those times are gone, I guess, but that's the way it was. And he drove his 1941 Ford coupe to my house. He said, come, I'll bring you to your house. My mama said, don't go in anybody's car. Then, and I'm talking about 1940-something. So he went and talked to my mama, Italian. The two Italians made the deal. I ended up playing soccer. 2 years after, when I know they were paying me, and my mama was saving the money, then I want to play soccer. Man, that was easy to work. I study and I play soccer. So I asked the coach, what can I do to play on the first division forever? He said, put your ear like that. And he said, do what I said. No question. If you do what I said, I put you tomorrow. I said, it's a deal. Well, this is natural now. You know, I want to play soccer. I was in love with the game. And so I'm going to do what that crazy coach tells me. Like, I'll leave it right or wrong. I don't even judge. He raised flags where to put myself in the case, and I moved exactly as he said. Well, God raised you flags. Every day, if you read the Bible every day, God will raise you a flag and tells you what to do. And so you obey him. So when you have godly sorrow, produces obedience. And also produces relief. Look at verse 10 again in 2 Corinthians. They clearly said, go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Produces a real relief of you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, page 681, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Now, that's a good Spanish word, creature. He's a new person. I remember the first time as a pastor, when I wanted to dedicate a baby, we call a baby a creatura, a creature, a creatura. And so I raised the baby in my hand and I said, what a nice creature. And the people were afraid, you know, they call it something else. But it is a creatura. The creatura is a word in Latin, which means the creation of God. If anybody is in Christ, he is the creation of God. He's a creatura. If you're a Christian, you're a creatura. You're the creation of God. You see how wonderful it is? The effect of a spiritual brokenness. If a person had become broken by the word of God, then you're never the same. God would never leave you in the same place he found you. He moves you up. You are a creature. Now the answer to a spiritual brokenness. Where do I go? Tell me the name of a psychologist that I can go. I tell you. A psychologist's name is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. Right there. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. Here's the psychologist's name, and I'll give you his address in a minute. The Spirit of the Lord, Jesus is born. Jesus grew up, goes into the temple, pick up the scrolls, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he, God, has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you need somebody to repair your brokenheartedness, Jesus is a person. God sent him to heal the brokenhearted. To heal those that by the consciousness, they embattled their sin. To heal those who said, I have it. I really blew it. Like this man said it so well before I came into to preaching to you in the presentation of Teen Challenge. I came to an end, he said, and that's it. If you come to an end, here are the psychologists. Jesus specializes for people who have come to an end of themselves. Where do I find it? Here's the address. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. Here is where you find Jesus. Hebrews 10 verse 7, page 708 in our Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7. Here's where you find this psychologist called Jesus. Then said I, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. You find Jesus in the volume of the book. Any place. You have no Bible, you write to us. Just send us an email, we send you a Bible. Free of charge. After you get saved, you send a donation. But this is what it is. Nothing is free in America. All right. You know what I mean? Let's be real. Jesus is the answer. Why people are afraid of the Bible of Jesus? Because change your life. Change your life. Don't look on it now in the Bible. Don't look on it so that we finish in time. I'm going to mention a few things. Are you under stress? Look at what the Bible said. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you looking for leadership in your life? Jesus said, my sheep, no boats, but the sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here is a leader. Are you looking for truth about eternal life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father except to me. Are you confused and overwhelmed by circumstances and people? Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 16, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. Jesus is the answer. You have to become empty. You have to become broken. And then the rest will be history. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Today we experience by the mouth of witness that Jesus Christ is real. There were witnesses in this pulpit today to tell us that when we get to the bottom of our life, here is the Master. And Father, I pray that you will help those who do not think that they are empty. I pray that you will help those who are not aware of their sinful nature, that they will read your scripture and find the reality of life in their life and the reality of a great Savior by the name Jesus. Forgive us because we do not read your Bible often. We are reading everything else, but not your Bible. Watching TV, but not your Bible. Father, your book is what gave us life. Help the young people today to get in love with your Bible, and then they will get in love with you. Thank you for sending us the scripture. Thank you for seeing today some life have been changed by the power of the Almighty. In Jesus we pray. Amen. For the benediction, and as you know, there is a luncheon that have been prepared for these guests that we have today and for all of us. So let's pray to our God. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forevermore. Amen.